Good morning and welcome to Backchat. I'm Hugh Chewerton, and today on the programme we're talking about the House of Mouse, because of course in a couple of hours' time Disneyland Hong Kong is going to be opening. It's been just 6 years since it was first announced by the government, and expectations for the Magic Kingdom are naturally pretty high. The government hopes its investment will boost the economy for decades and create thousands of jobs, and children just want to meet Mickey. But publicity so far hasn't been all a fairy tale. Criticism over sharks in soup, wild dogs, and most recently even food safety. So will you be welcoming Disney? How do you feel about the opening today? Give us a call, 233 88266, or email backchat@rthk.org.hk and let us know what you think. And joining us today over in our central studio, we have Dick Kaufman, Executive Director of DKA Asia, and David Webb from website.com, but also waiting patiently in Penny's Bay itself from the mouse's mouth, here's Sarah Passmore. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning, Hugh. Can you hear me? Because there's an awful lot of noise going on in the background
here. We can hear you. What's going on?
There's a very important rehearsal going on. Last minute things getting ready for the grand opening, which is at 11:30 today. So there's an awful lot of busy people here and doing a lot of sound checks. So that's what you can hear in the background at the moment.
Are they looking confident? Are they looking nervous or what?
I have to say, after being here for a few days, Disney always looks confident, even when they're rushing around. There's always a... Yeah, there's an air of they've done it all before and...
Right.
They know it's a very slick operation here.
Yes, indeed. They know what they're doing. The air pollution's pretty poor today, isn't it? Is that noticeable?
It is, actually. It's very foggy, and it's pretty still as well. It's very close yesterday as well.
Right.
We really noticed that. On Saturday night, we had fireworks, and you could see all the smoke blowing away. Last night, we had fireworks, and you could see the smoke just sort of resting there. That was a very good indication that it wasn't much of a breeze yesterday here.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, thanks, Sarah. We'll be crossing back to you as you get a Disney spokesman, we hope.
We actually do have... I think I've got two Disney spokesmen with me now. Everything has been changing here a little bit. I've got Kurt Sanders. Kurt... You better give your own title.
Good morning. I'm the director of theme park design and planning.
All right.
And we've also got Brian Wong, who is the director of operations services with us this morning. So thank you both of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Kurt, has it been a good weekend for you so far?
It's been absolutely fantastic. We are so excited about this morning, and everything has gone off without a hitch. And we are, as you mentioned, very confident in today's ceremony and hopefully opening to the public this afternoon and onwards from there.
Okay. There have been some criticisms about numbers of people you've been bringing into the park on the rehearsal days. I think on one rehearsal day you did have the capacity of 30,000. There were a lot of complaints. There was a lot of queuing and people couldn't get food when they wanted to. How many people are you expecting today, and have all of these glitches been ironed out?
Well, we believe we continue to work on any glitch or any problem we've had in the future or in the past, and we continue to make adjustments. So today's attendance should not be too bad, and we're looking forward constantly, you know, looking at our operation and trying to make sure that we resolve and solve any issue that may be out there. Again, rehearsal days was just that opportunity for us to really, you know, kind of maximize the capacity of the park at one point just to see what we could do. I don't believe we really know how many people we can put in this park yet. Where it's a comfortable experience, we have the ability to control it, monitor it, and we'll find the right attendance and go from there. So it's continuously being looked at.
Is it agreed, though, that 30,000 is too many at the moment?
Well, you know, not necessarily. You got to remember, too, that our staff is new, and they have a lot of efficiencies that they'll gain, and as soon as they get more efficient every single day, I think you'll see changes just in that. And I see confidence building in our management and our frontline cast members every single day that they're out here.
Brian Wong, is that a feeling that you share, that it's just a matter of getting things right, that it's all new and that you're all learning how it's working at the moment?
Well,
a fair comment would be to say we're all very excited and we're all ready to open the door. And personally, I've been waiting for this day for 5 years and 4 months. And as someone who was born and raised in Hong Kong, I really feel privileged to be part of this team.
You had about 5,000 people in the park yesterday, and I think that's right. And I saw quite a lot of queuing for the rides. Now, is this the problem that you've got? There's an awful lot of things in the park that aren't just the rides, but a lot of people are focusing on the Astro Blaster and Space Mountain, and so therefore you've got these queues going around the block and people are waiting for an hour. Is that normal? Are people going to always have to wait for an hour to get on some of these things? Or?
Well, we hope it's not an hour all the time, but for our most popular attractions, typically you do have some queuing that will take place. And again, we just try to be as efficient as we can to get as many people through as quickly as possible and safely and efficiently, and we'll continue to work on that.
And that's why we have FastPass.
And is FastPass working?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we are listening to Backchat, and this is a phone-in program, gentlemen, so we may get some calls. If you do have calls and you would like to put some questions to Brian Wong and Kurt Sanders, now is your chance to do so. 233-88266. Back to you, Hugh.
Thanks very much. And, of course, Radio 3 will be broadcasting live from Disneyland from 11 to 3 today, covering the all-important opening ceremony. Dick Kaufman is in our central studio, Executive Director of DKA Asia.
Good morning.
A lot of experience of tourism in Hong Kong. You were giving the thumbs up for Disney there.
Oh, yeah. Disney, Hong Kong is to be congratulated, in my opinion, certainly, to be able to open this theme park in the midst of our depression, in the midst of our administrative changes, in the midst of a lot that's going on with us and our neighbors in the region, to be able to marry mass transport with mass entertainment is fantastic, and we ought to be applauded.
Do you think it's a good deal for the government?
That's to be determined. In fact, I'm sure your listeners are aware that we, the taxpayers of Hong Kong, have paid for this. And so it's our responsibility, in fact, to make it work.
Right. Well, sitting next to you is David Webb from website.com, who may have a different view, but hang on, Dave.
Great.
Because joining us on the line now is Howard Young, a legislative councillor with responsibility for the tourism sector. Howard, good morning to you.
Morning.
Are you looking forward to the opening today?
Yes, I certainly am. I've been looking forward ever since the first day it was announced that we got it in 1999.
How do you feel about all the criticism, from shark fin soup to the dogs to food poisoning to, sweatshops in the mainland and so on?
Well, I think no doubt there have been some negative reports. The one I'm more concerned about is the one on not allowing health inspectors to go into with their proper gear, uniforms to do inspections, because I think no matter what, every corporation in Hong Kong, every person must obey by the law, and we don't give people special privileges in this respect. Now, as for other things, such as whether the crowds are too large, whether the rides are insufficient, I think these can be overcome in time, first maybe by really coming up with an ideal customer throughput on various days, and in fact by expanding in the future. I think these things can be overcome.
Right. Are you? You say we shouldn't treat Disney specially, but Disney is special, isn't it? Don't they deserve it?
Yes, it is very special. It is not just Disney itself. I think it will change. It will be a catalyst for many changes in Hong Kong. I can see two changes on the macro side. One is that it will change the overall perception of Hong Kong as a tourism destination, and enhance its value as a tourism destination. For instance, when you think of Hong Kong, most people, especially in the Western Hemisphere, think, oh, Hong Kong is a place for doing business and doing shopping. Great, we are the best destination in Asia. But very few people think of Hong Kong as a family destination. I think this will change. Secondly, I think the culture that Disney brings in there, there's a lot of talk about the culture. There are some people say, oh, criticize, oh, is this American Americanization of culture? I don't see it like that. I think a big Disney culture, in my mind, is a culture that promotes happiness, friendliness. treating people well to make them happy. And I think this culture will spread into the other aspects of Hong Kong's tourism, for instance, hopefully into retail shops and taxi drivers and so on and so forth.
Okay, today is, in one sense, a rather unlucky day in that the air pollution index is, the warnings are already up. We've already had an email from Dick who says, are visitors still allowed to go to Disneyland today? Surely there must be a black lung warning in force, and we're all advised not to travel in the open and only breathe when absolutely necessary. It's rather embarrassing, Howard, isn't it, to be out on a day like this?
Well, I see this as not as an event of one or two days. Air pollution is a problem. I will admit to you now my own... what I was thinking about 6 years ago when we were talking about this before we signed, every time I looked at the sky, and even ago, we started getting many, lots of gray skies in Hong Kong, and at that time I knew that, you know, places like Shanghai, like Zhuhai, like Babsing, and all wanting to get Disney, and the biggest obstacle I thought in those days, my gosh, if the Disney people come here and see where is all the sunshine, it might really lessen the chances of us getting it. So this is not a new worry, it's an old worry. We have been expressing these views, not just the Hong Kong government, but the Guangdong government, and it is a problem which is on the agenda to be solved. But to be realistic, this is a problem, I believe, and Sarah Liao has said to us, legislators, many times before, that it is probably not a problem that's really going to be solved with regard to the whole of the COVID with Delta until the year 2010. It is unfortunate, but I think we have to deal with it. It is not just a Disney problem. It is a whole COVID with Delta problem, and governments on both sides really have to deal with this.
I guess many of the tourists will be coming from regions which are just as bad, if not worse, so they may even come here for the clean air.
Well, I travel around in Guangdong quite a lot, Guangzhou and Shenzhen. I can tell you Hong Kong is good compared to them, but we must not be complacent. We must deal with it. It's not going to be dealt with overnight, and it will take a lot of effort and quite a few years.
What are the expectations? Have the government done their sums and say when they want their money back and how much they want when?
The government did their sums when the deal was signed. There were briefings to LegCo 5 years ago on this. At that time, the figures showed that with the expected throughput, that it would be a viable project. Now, since then, we have had been under budget in the construction costs, which is good news. And secondly, the projected visitors is way above what was originally thought when the deal was signed in 1999. So I am very confident that it will be very viable. In fact, I think we should lose no time in thinking now on how to go into phase two, because there is phase two reserved for the park, and Disney has the right of first refusal to build another theme park next to what is there now.
Mr. Young, you just said this is a family, it's going to turn Hong Kong into a family destination. But do you think that when people come to Hong Kong to go to Disneyland, they'll actually venture out into the rest of Hong Kong? We're very near the airport here. The Hollywood Hotel is one of the most inexpensive hotels and perfectly pleasant in Hong Kong. I can very well visualize people coming in, staying at the hotel, going into the park, and going off again.
When I say family destination, I've been thinking of continue to retain its reputation as a shopping paradise and also a center to do business and attend exhibitions. Now, the tourism board has done studies, less than 10% of Hong Kong's business visitors, when they come here, actually bring their families. And bringing families sometimes only means bringing the spouse. Very, very few bring the children. But if we have people who are coming here to do shopping and do business, bringing their children as well, it will encourage them to stay long, to see more things, and also the rest of the goodies that are coming up next year. We're going to have Longping 360, the Cable Park at Chung Chung, and we're going to have the Wetland Park out to new territories, and I hope even many more. In fact, I hope that one day we will also have a small gaming facility in our resort to make really Hong Kong a destination for everyone in the family.
Okay. Well, let's bring in David Webb now, who's waiting patiently in our Admiralty studio. Good morning, David. You've heard a lot of positive things there. Do you share that optimism?
Well, I'd like to roll the clock back a bit to 1999 and Donald Chang's budget speech, which was the most interventionist budget speech in living memory. And in that speech, he announced the Cyberport, which is a property development in Pok Fulham, which is 24 hectares. He announced a cruise terminal for Chung Kong, which was abandoned after objections over the Cyberport. And he announced a 280-hectare reclamation for the Disney's Phase 1 and 2. And the land in that project is being given away basically for free. There is a potential payback for it in the form of what they call subordinated equity, which won't kick in unless the park outperforms the projections. By their own admission at the time, the park was not viable without free land, and that's coming directly from government papers. The government has never published the accounts of Hong Kong International Theme Parks Limited. The project was not tendered to invite competing theme park operators to bid for the land. And the projections that the government produced at the time to try and justify its decision were never published either. So there's a strong degree of cynicism in my mind that this is the right way to spend our valuable land resources, because this site in total area, not counting a potential Phase 3, by the way, which has been mentioned in government papers, it's 280 hectares. That's about 1.5% of our urban area of 20,000 hectares. And if you had sold that land out for residential development, even at the time, based on the valuation of land in the Cyberport, it would be worth about $200 billion. So it's not clear to me that this was a very good use of public resources.
Could we go to Kurt or Brian, if they're still there?
Yep.
Right, okay. I mean, I'm sure you're not up on the financial details, but, I mean, generally, what's the experience of Disneyland around the world? What sort of effect does it have on the communities where it's built financially?
Well, I think if you look at our last resort internationally, which was the Disneyland Paris project, I've just recently gone back a couple of years ago, and it's amazing after just, 12, 13 years of operation, that the whole community has grown, probably doubled, tripled in size. The industry has increased tremendously. New shopping malls have been built. They've added additional stations to their railway. Even though there's many talk about, you know, the Paris project not performing as well as we had expected to, I think what it's done to the overall community and the growth in and around that project is it's pretty typical of the projects that we do throughout the world. The Tokyo Disneyland Resort is pretty much the same thing.
Well, I hope it's not typical, because Disneyland Paris went bust and had to be financially restructured after it opened. So I'm sure the Hong Kong taxpayer wouldn't want that to happen in this case.
No, I would agree with that. I guess I was, again, referring to just the growth in and around the community overall.
Brian, I agree with you. Dick Kaufman, I agree with you. I just spent 3 days in Paris Disney, and I also felt the energy there and the energy from the surrounding new development. There's shopping centers, there's new towns that have built up around the trunk lines, the train lines, which is phenomenal economic growth. True, Disney as a park has not made a profit or turned the corner there yet, but the economic growth around there leading right into Paris has been phenomenal.
David, could you buy that?
I think that there were better ways to use the public resources, and one of the issues that's been largely brushed aside, which is very obvious today, is that our climate is not best suited to a theme park. There's a lot of sunshine in Florida. There's a lot of sunshine in California. Japan is the land of the rising sun. In Hong Kong, it's hot and it rains all summer. It's cold and damp in the winter, or cool and damp in the winter. And I'm not sure that's conducive to people queuing for 2 hours for rides, in the heat and the sun. The heat and the rain. So I think there's an issue over whether it's a commercially viable project, even if the land is free.
Brian, this is your area. Tell us how you've changed the theme park to make it more appropriate for our weather conditions.
Well, I actually wanted to just share my own experience, because during the rehearsal days, we as cast members were all given the opportunity to bring our friends and families to visit the park as a guest. And so happened with the day when my parents visited the park. It was one of the, I guess, rainy days in August, and I believe we had the rain warning signal Amber on for most of the day, and they still spent a good 8-9 hours in the park. They enjoyed it. They wore raincoat for most of the day, but they were able to got around, saw most of the shows that we offered, tried most of the attractions that they liked, and they had a fun day. So I think it's when you think of a Disney theme park, most people, the first impression would be the outdoor space. But here at our park, because of sort of the anticipation, because of the weather, the unique weather here, a lot of the attractions are either indoor or covered. And I think Kirk can probably speak more to that too. So
I think that's an important point, Brian. When you think of, we have Theater in the Wild, The Lion King Show, we've got Mickey's Philhar Magic, we have Storybook Theater with Golden Mickeys, we've got all of our attractions are indoors and air-conditioned. Our restaurants are indoors and air-conditioned and covered with fans. So we've tried to address the weather conditions and tried to be sensitive to that. Will we go forward and continue to improve that? Absolutely.
Improving the weather, I'm looking forward to that.
What happens if there is a black rainstorm is warning? Do you close the park? I mean, how are you dealing with these situations?
We have our emergency plan is basically written in place, and we will keep the park open as long as we can. Typically right now, we will start to do preparations at the Typhoon 3 signal, and then when the Typhoon 8 is hoisted, that is when we will begin our preparation for closing the park, getting our guests back to the resorts, and getting our cast members home.
But you've got the typhoon warnings, we've got the thunderstorm warnings, we've got the heavy rain warnings. Have you got a contingency plan for each one of those situations?
We do. We've looked at every single situation, and again, safety is the number one concern for us. So we will put into plan, any of those conditions and make sure our guests are safe. And again, we want to try to continue to operate as long as we can and as long as it's safe. Many of our attractions, the outdoor ones do shut down in those types of rainstorms or a lightning storm, that type of thing. So, yes, we have plans in place for all of those various conditions.
Okay, Howard Young, I know, has got to leave at 9 o'clock in just a couple of minutes' time. Howard, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Before you zoom off to Penny's Bay for the opening. How do you feel, finally, about all the negative publicity? We've only touched upon, half the topics that have been raised. Do you think Hong Kong people are hostile to Disney?
Well, no, I don't think people are hostile. I think Hong Kong people like Disney. We welcome Disney as we did when the agreement was, but we wanted to do well. And I think many of the criticisms are well intended in nature, and hope that Disney will listen to these criticisms. If there is any truth behind them, then try and make up for them or change some ways of doing things. And everyone is, whether you're praising or criticizing, one wants to improve upon the success that we already have.
Well, Howard Young, thank you very much indeed. Off you go now to your mouse train, whatever, off to Penny's Bay for the opening, which is happening in just a couple of hours' time. And we're talking this morning on Backchat, of course, about the Disney opening before the event. We're also going to be talking about it tomorrow after the event with some different views as well. And, of course, Radio 3 is also broadcasting live from Disneyland today from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock. We want to hear your thoughts. Are you welcoming Disneyland? Give us a call, 233-88266, or you can email backchat@rthk.org.hk. Now's the time, good time to do it as we break for 5 minutes for the news. And the weather first, hazy today, that's the key word. Sunny periods and some isolated showers. Again, hot, maximum temperature about 32 degrees. The outlook, it's going to be showery on Tuesday and on Wednesday. The air pollution index, the forecast for today is very bad. It's already up to 162 in Causeway Bay, and the forecast for Tung Chung is 104. So very bad air pollution today. Back in 5 minutes.
RTHK News.
It's 9 o'clock. I'm Trevor Wyatt.
Preparations are underway for the official opening of Hong Kong's Disneyland theme park. The ceremony is due to start at 11:30 this morning and will be attended by a number of dignitaries, including Vice President Zheng Qinhong. This report from Betsy May Velu.
Besides Mr. Zheng, 2,500 other guests have been invited for the opening festivities. They include the chief executive, Donald Zheng, and the president of the Walt Disney Company, Bob Iger, and the company CEO, Michael Eisner. Some 600 government officials have also been invited to the event, as well as 1,000 others. About 900 local and overseas journalists will also be present. The festivities will kick off at 11:30 a.m. with an eye-dotting ceremony and a traditional lion dance. Both the Vice President Zheng Qinhong and the Chief Executive Donald Zheng will speak during the ceremony. The gate will be open to the public at 1 o'clock this afternoon. About 6,000 paying guests are expected.
The Director of Operations at Hong Kong Disneyland, Brian Wong, says he's confident the opening ceremony will run smoothly.
We're all very excited to have come this far. When I joined the company 5 years and 4 months ago, I was always thinking about this day, and finally we're here.
You're listening to Backchat on Radio 3. Call us on 233-88266 or email backchat@rthk.org.hk. It's your voice.
Welcome back to the program. And this morning, Backchat is coming to you live from Kowloon Tong and from Penny's Bed. This is Director of Theme Park Design there, and Brian Wong, Director of Operations Services at Disneyland Hong Kong. In our central studio, we've got David Webb from website.com, Dick Kaufman, Executive Director of DKA, Aisha, and Sarah, as I say, is over in Penny's Bay at the moment. I'm here looking at some of your emails, like this one from Harry, who says, of course the guests at the rehearsal days enjoyed themselves despite the weather. They mostly got there for free as family and friends of the employees. Kurt, I wanted to go back to you. One issue that's been raised by a lot of people is the size of Hong Kong Disneyland. A fraction of the size of the one in Florida. Is it big enough to be a theme park?
Absolutely. We believe it's definitely a full-day experience for any of our guests that come out. They can enjoy anywhere from, a 6 to 8 to 10 hour day. And we truly believe it's that full-day experience. And if you think back on when our other theme parks opened, many of them were similar in size to this one when we started, and it continued to grow over the years.
Okay, so there is scope for expansion. I mean, does the area next to Disneyland, were you thinking of, did you have that in mind when you were planning this one?
Absolutely, absolutely, exactly. We have a lot of room to grow this particular theme park before we even get into the phase two with the second park, and we've got additional room for more resort hotels. So yeah, that was exactly our plan, was to, more chase the demand when we know this thing will be successful, and then we will start to grow as quickly as we can. Mm.
David Webb, what would you do with that site? Would you allow Disney to expand?
Well, we have no choice now, unfortunately, because Disney has an option over the next 80 hectares at cost. But if I'd had a choice in 99, no, I wouldn't have reclaimed 2.8 square kilometers from the sea and given it away at cost.
What would you have done with it?
Well, I think Hong Kong has to use its land resources very carefully, and you've got to look at the opportunity cost here. The area of this site is bigger than the three industrial estates at Tai Po, Yuen Long and Chung Kwan O, and the Science Park and the Cyberport put together. Now, there's a certain amount of economic productivity that you can gain simply by auctioning the site to the highest bidder for most suitable purposes, and whether that is leisure, whether it is industry, whether it is offices or residential, I think the market should decide, rather than government pushing the economy in one direction or another by saying, oh, well, we need to have a theme park. If we did need to have a theme park, and if that was the consensus, it should have been opened up to tender, because it seems statistically unlikely to me that the market would put exactly the cost price of the land as its value. I think they would have been competitive bidding for it, and we may have got a better result.
Okay, got a call from Nathan, who says that as a taxpayer, he had to pay for the theme park as well, so he'll go and visit once, but he says he'll wait till all the hype's died down. At the moment, there's just so much bad publicity surrounding the long queues, the rides breaking down, and food poisoning.
Some people have forgotten some of the hidden costs of this as well, which is that, for example, when the government announced the project in March 99, they hadn't anywhere near reached agreement with Disney. They identified the location and thereby forced themselves to pay top dollar to buy the Choi Yi shipyard. When they bought the Choi Li shipyard, they discovered it was contaminated with dioxins, so we then had to build an incineration plant to treat the dioxins in the soil there, and the total cost of all that was $2 billion. We also had to subsidize the MTR to build the Penny's Bay rail link, which is now called the Disneyland Resort Line. That cost another $800 million in subsidy in the form of waiving dividends on the MTR shares. So there are a lot of hidden costs in this project that are not included in that $22 billion figure that you see.
But okay. we have had a lot of benefits. I mean, if you just sold off the land to the highest bidder, you'd probably get property developments, and of course that would create jobs. But this way, you've got 5,000 people working here already. You've had 18,000 people working here constructing it over the last 5 years. It's a very positive thing for Hong Kong.
Well, 18,000 people have just been put out of work then, if you look at it the other way around. The question is, would they have been better utilised building something more economically efficient?
Sarah, I agree with you that this is a very valuable asset to Hong Kong. Not only has it given us jobs, it's given us a complete new tourism product. It's family orientation, something that we've never had the reputation of being. Howard pointed that out. It does expose the great cultural divide between America and Hong Kong, or America and China. And Disney's going to have to learn from a learning curve based on a few early problems that have arisen. I'm sure they will. And I'm sure they'll fit right into this society and really be an asset to us.
All right, our number is 233-88-266. Simone is on the line now. Hello, Simone.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Your question or comment?
Yes, I was just wondering, actually I do have tickets for today, like the rest of the public who want to go on the opening day. And my question is, with all of the officials that are going for the 11:30 ceremony, do you think that there will be any more parking spots available, or would it be better that we take the train?
Who wants to take that on?
You should plan your trip to Disneyland.
Kurt.
Well, I would hope that there'd be plenty of parking available, but for me, the train is always the best bet because you know it's there, you know it's consistent, it's the closest place to actually walk to the park. So if it was me, I guess I'd probably take the train.
How many car space spots have you got?
In our car park, we have 1,000 spaces in our car parking lot.
And could you tell me how much it is for the whole day, just for the parking?
The fee is $120.
Okay.
Simone, are you taking your family?
No, I'm just going with my fiancé.
Okay, all right.
Are you excited about this?
Absolutely. I was there for the opening of Disney Sea in Tokyo, so I'm just keeping up the tradition.
You're a big Disney fan then?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
We look forward to hosting you today.
Thank you very much.
Bring a hat and make sure you've got your sunscreen on because you're going to be walking around a lot and it gets hot.
Well, I'll definitely be there with my opening T-shirt for the Disney Sea Park.
Make sure you bring your camera.
Thank you.
We're also joined now by Roy Tan Hardy, who's the Vice President of Marketing and Sales for Hong Kong Disneyland. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have heard a lot of very negative things in the press recently. Is that very disappointing for you, or do you just expect it with any Disneyland opening?
It's a little disappointing, but we're not overly disappointed, if I can say that. I think it just shows one thing. The public in general are still in a discovery phase and in a learning mode in terms of how to think about a Disneyland theme park. From what we've seen that has been written, it shows a little bit of maybe some sense of naivety because this is very much a greenfield environment. There are, in fact, when you think about it, there's only 4 countries in the world that has a Disney theme park, and Hong Kong being its newest one and China being really a greenfield environment. I think a lot of people are still discovering the business of a theme park. It's not about running from A to B every time of the day. You know, a lot of people ask me, what is the thing that we should leave time for when we visit a theme park? And when you think about it, you've got to leave time to absorb the atmosphere, to experience just being in this kind of a magical environment, as opposed to running from one attraction to another, lining up from one place to another. And, you know, these are the type of things that I think over time people will discover. And already we're getting tips from consumers in terms of how to make the best of your day at Hong Kong Disneyland.
This is a place where you have to suspend your disbelief and leave it outside in the car park. I mean, if you're not willing to do that, you may as well not come. Because, as I've said several times over the last few days, it is a show. You don't call people employees here. You call them cast members. And it sounds a bit weird to the rest of the world, but when you see it all in action, you can see it is a show. You know, you don't see cleaners as much as you see people in costume, and the way things are done, clear-up operation is done, when no customers are around, when it's all done out of sight. I really am kind of really bowled over by the way you operate things here. And it's all part of the Disney experience, isn't it?
And, you know, as early as 2 years ago, we realized the marketing strategy, the critical importance of not just creating awareness, but more importantly, education. And it's about educating the audience here about the characters and the stories behind the characters. It's also educating the audience about the experience of a Disney theme park. You know, because we know for a fact that the more you know about the stories, the more your experience is going to be so much greater.
It sounds a little bit scary when you say you need to educate people. You are talking about Disneyland here, after all.
Dick Kaufman here. I just must say that I spent 3 days at Paris Disney last summer, staying in the Disney Hotel, soaking up, as you said, the Disney experience and the Disney lifestyle. And it was wonderful. It was so wonderful. By the end of my 3 days, I was dancing down Main Street with your characters.
We'll look forward to seeing dancing down this Main Street, Dick.
Thanks, Roy.
Roy, how do you feel about the fact that, you know, this is the first Disneyland opening in China? Culturally, a long way from America, from Europe, even from Japan. There isn't necessarily the background, the knowledge of those, the same stories and the same characters. China having its own culture in a way, going off in a different direction. Is that something that Disney's had to think about in the way it's in the product, the way it's marketed the product, the way it's presented itself?
When we spoke to a lot of consumers in China, in Taiwan, and in this part of the world, one of the common themes that kept ringing out time after time is, I want a classic Disney experience. When we talked to them about customizing certain attractions and certain experiences, they were saying the reason I would want to go to Hong Kong Disneyland is because it's a Disney theme park. So hold true to its promise, hold true to its heritage, and I will be there. And you know, when you watch the guests come in the door, one of the things that really excites me is the looks on everyone's faces, whether it's here in Hong Kong, in Orlando, in Paris, or in Tokyo. There's that same common look of awe, surprise, and excitement. Disney is one of those very rare brands in my mind that transcends not only generations, but also cultures. So to the extent that we've had to adapt, I think we're doing a lot in terms of language, in terms of some of the food offering, some of the merchandise offering. But other than that, this is a classic Disney experience, which over the last half of a century has been welcoming hundreds and millions of guests from all over the world. And we look forward to doing the same here in Hong Kong Disneyland.
Well, I was asked a question yesterday about the timing, why it's closing so early, because you had a fantastic party here last night, and I was wandering through the park. It was all lit up. It looked beautiful, and it was a completely different experience to being here during the daytime. Why aren't you going to have the sort of late night opening?
I think at this point, we're just, you know, trying to run in the park. And we'll see it based on guest demand. The other element, of course, is the public transportation network shuts down at a certain time in Hong Kong. So you need to have guests able to hit those MTR stations, those bus stations earlier, and especially for our cast members.
Yeah, we do have to think about our cast members and the fact that they're here probably an hour or 2 hours after the park closes. And again, to Roy's point, we need to be able to get them, you know, home as well.
To that point, we've also tried different closing time during our rehearsal days to see how it goes, see how it's received by our guests, and see how we operate in the night. So I think we've also learned a lot.
And what's the optimum closing time, do you think, from that experience?
Well, remember, we opened our gate officially today, so we'll continue to observe how our guests like it, and then we'll make our adjustment.
But there will be festivals where we will open longer because the transportation network opens 24 hours. So that will give us the flexibility to do that on certain dates of the year.
Talking about transportation, I've come here via MTR a couple of times now, and it's quite a long wait for those trains between Sunny Bay and from Tung Chung to Sunny Bay. Are you going to increase the frequency, or are you fairly sort of stuck with what you've got at the moment?
Well, I would think that, we're working very, very closely with the MTR, and I think just as we are, they're adjusting their operation as well. So I think together their timing for the trains coming from Hong Kong and from Tung Chung are much better in terms of when our Disneyland Resort line is available to our guests. So I think they're continuing to adjust their operation as well, and hopefully those times will come down.
And you've got a ferry pier, but that's not in operation yet. Do you know when that's going to start running services?
I don't think we know an exact date, but we're working very, very closely with the transport department, and we have been over the last 4 to 6 months on the ferry pier operator. Again, we have to work very closely with them in terms of who that operator will be. And we're hoping that we can sign up an operator very soon, but I don't know if we really know about yet.
So you don't know if it'll be going into Central or to Chimsar Choi or where it'll be based?
Well, I would believe it's got to be going into Central or Wan Chai or, you know, Aberdeen. You know, it's got to be going somewhere into Central. I'm not sure we know exactly which location yet, but it definitely would come from somewhere downtown.
And I heard that actually the pier is a public pier, so anyone can use it. So anyone on a speedboat, on a junk or whatever, and you're encouraging people to use that?
I don't think that's a problem. It is. We do have a no mooring zone, so you can't come and just park your boat there and then come into the park for, you know, 8 or 10 hours. But you can come, drop off, and then leave and come back and pick up. So it's not a problem.
It just provides our guests with an additional option that they like to consider to come to Hong Kong Disneyland. And as you know, there are a few people in Hong Kong that have access to junks, be it rental, lease, or own. And it's a great way to come to the resort, or a great way to leave the resort, for that matter.
You know, and talking about transportation, I think we have done a phenomenal job in terms of the different types of transportation systems that you can come to this resort by. They're all, in my opinion, very, very convenient and very easy to implement.
Roy, can I ask you, how are ticket sales going?
We're quite happy with the progress of ticket sales. You know, our online channel is doing very well, but we will know a lot more after we're open in terms of trends and behaviors of consumers, not just locally here, but particularly in southern China, northern China, because we think the vacation planning cycle, if you like, is much, much shorter in this part of the world than it is in Europe or in the U.S. And so we will have a much better indication of trends and pick up pace after we're open. But right now, we're quite pleased with the progress of ticket sales, as we are with the hotel reservations as well.
Now, I've heard a rumor that you're sold out for the next few months. Is that just an urban myth, or is it true?
I really don't know where that rumor started, and we've been trying very hard to dispel that very rumor, because we've been telling people there are rooms available. On some of the major holiday weekends, like, for example, the coming Mid-Autumn Festival, we have received very strong booking, but they're not 100% full.
Okay, so you've got rooms available, and also ticket sales, just for day sales, if you want to come along, there's no problem with that.
There's no problems. People should be free to buy tickets at the gate. Now, obviously, if you're going to stay at the hotels, I would advise to book a couple of days in advance through the reservations online.
But it's a complete fallacy that you're booked out and no one's going to be able to get in for 4 months.
No, that is completely untrue. And we have 365,000 room nights that we have available through a given year.
It may be a useful rumor, though. It panicked me into buying tickets for somebody who wanted to go. Anyway, we've had an interesting email from Anthony. He says he wants to congratulate both the Hong Kong government and Disneyland for a wonderful job at building the new theme park in Penny's Bay. My wife and I attended the park yesterday with close friends. We were very impressed by the park, by the friendliness of the staff, and only a low number of attendees, short lines at the rides. The theme park's a wonderful addition for Hong Kong, adds a new dimension to our tourism offering. The only pity was the terrible state of the air pollution at Penny's Bay and Lantau Island. After living in Hong Kong since childhood, it breaks my heart that visitors will not be able to appreciate the beauty of Lantau Island that I used to walk through as a child with my parents. Spectacular mountains and waterways that make Hong Kong such a unique environment, hidden from the view of the thousands of visitors. Hong Kong's government, big business and citizens must all make an effort to deal with this serious problem, or the likes of Disney may bypass us in future years for cleaner air destinations. Well, thanks for that thought, Anthony. Do drop us a line. We've got about 5 minutes left. You're all going to welcome Disney. David Webb, one thing I wanted to bring up with you that's come up in the press today, in the papers, the possibility of an IPO for Hong Kong Disneyland being listed. Would you buy it? I suppose it would depend on the terms,
obviously. Yeah. if the owner had the right to redevelop the site, I would certainly buy it, because down the road, eventually, this site will have a more economic use. And with 280 hectares, it would be very inexpensive to spend some of the proceeds paying off Disney for their contract, the details of which have never been disclosed, and then to redevelop the site for commercial or residential use. So if it's floated in that way, it would be a fantastic long-term buy, one to put away until the theme park has withered away and the owners decide to do something better with it. So yes, in those terms. But I think in general, it should be floated, simply because it will provide us with transparency at that stage, if not before. The government would have to publish the accounts of Hong Kong International Theme Parks Limited, which owns the project, And we'd also see details of the management contract and how much Disney's being paid in royalties for admissions and merchandise and food and beverage and so on.
But basically, Disney is a good investment, isn't it? It's a great brand. It's one of the best brands in the world.
No, I think commercially, for the Hong Kong government, it's a lousy investment. They've put in $22 billion of public resources, and the opportunity cost of those resources is more like $200 billion in terms of what you could have done with the land. And they'll never get a return that matches the $200 billion of opportunity cost. So financially, it's not a good thing. But it's here now. We all have spent around $4,000 for every man, woman, and child in Hong Kong on this project, just based on the reclamation cost, not the opportunity value. We better hope that it does well.
And I'm going to be getting my $4,000 by visiting many times.
But, Dick, I mean, you were talking about, you know, getting carried away at Disneyland in Paris and waltzing down Main Street. And
I think what
can't
I found...
Can't you get a bit dazzled by
Disney?
Well,
I think what I found by doing that was that Disney isn't a theme park, it's a lifestyle, and it plays to the hearts and minds of our young kids and children, and adults who act like children. And I think it's wonderful. Yes, there may be some mistakes that will be overcome. Yes, there's room for potential growth in this area, but what it does is open up Hong Kong as a destination for families. Good, wholesome fun and entertainment for families. This is great for our reputation and for our future business.
Right, let's cross back to Disneyland. One thing that has been mentioned to me a couple of times is the attitude of the staff in Hong Kong. They haven't quite got the fixed grins you want from Disney's cast members. Is that right?
I think that's a load of rubbish. Absolute rubbish. I have never
seen... They have got the fixed grins.
Everyone has been wonderful. And I came here perfectly willing to be cynical, and I've been completely won over, I have to say. And it is down to the staff. But it is down to every single person here. Because everyone works as a team, and the positivity is infectious. It really is. Last night, Brian and I were here. We've been here all day. We had to wait. We were doing what's called a point-of-view camera thing in Space Mountain, and there was a few technical hitches. We had to wait for about an hour for that to be fixed, and everyone was being very nice. And, it, you know, we didn't mind waiting. We came out, and we realized we'd missed our dinner, and we were very hungry. And we were both being a bit sort of cynical. There's a show coming up. And the show was spectacular. And I completely forgot that I was even hungry. And again, we were both being sort of cynical and grumpy as we are wont to be. And I was bowled over yet again. And I ended up having a fantastic time. And yes, I know this is all for the press. And I know this has been a big, big show to give a very good view of Disney. Well, it's worked. It really has worked.
They sold you, didn't they, Sarah?
Sounds like it.
Brian's just said, I've got to mention, I was also forced to dance by a group of Philippine dancers last night. It was a great party.
It may be useful to add that the show that all the media saw yesterday, aside from the Big Fat Band, which was from Los Angeles, there was a Hong Kong Philharmonic there, and the handful of singers that we brought in from the U.S., the entire show was made up of local Hong Kong Disneyland entertainment cast.
Do you know what I really liked about that show? It was, I felt really Hong, it was a real Hong Kong show. It wasn't all Cantonese, it wasn't all English. It was a really nice mix. So there wasn't any one point that you felt that you weren't being included because you didn't understand what someone was saying. It was very Disney, it was very over the top. If you don't like that, you're not going to like it. But it was spectacular. It was a show, and this is what I've realized. It's all about a big show, and everything that's done is a big show. And I think you're right. I think maybe some of the crew here, some of the staff, are still learning that. I was in the hotel yesterday morning, and I asked for some tea. One of the waiters there was about to tell me to go and get it, and straight away, a senior member came up and said, yeah, of course we'll get it for you. And, you know, so it's all a learning curve. But I think that kind of attitude, the Disney attitude, is quite staggering. It is really amazing. And I think people will be really amazed when they come here.
Right, well, okay, thank you very much indeed. Hobbit and Sarah converted there. Thank you very much indeed. Broadcasting live from Penis Bay and Disneyland. Thanks to our guests there, to Roy Tan, Kurt Sanders and Brian Wong from the Disney team. We'll be going live from Disneyland from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock today on Radio 3. It'll be very interesting to see how it goes. Last word goes to an email from Andy who says, could someone from RTHK please ask Donald Jung if he's proud to open Disneyland on a day when the pollution is so disgusting and almost at its worst? Interesting question, Andy. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks also to David Webb from website.com, that's with two B's, over in our central studio, and to Dick Kaufman, Executive Director of DKA Asia. Thanks a lot. And also joining us earlier was Howard Young, Lister to Councillor. That's it from us. We'll be doing an assessment, a post-mortem, perhaps tomorrow in the programme between 8.30 and 9 with some different views. So put your mind together, put your finger to keyboard and send us an email between now and then. Your thoughts on Disney. Leaving you now with the weather, hazy today, sunny periods and some isolated showers. Hot with a maximum temperature of about 32 degrees, showery on Tuesday and Wednesday. The air pollution already very bad today. The general stations are forecast high to very high, and for roadside stations, very high indeed. 28 degrees, the latest readings, relative humidity at 86%.